B-Pod Studios.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are trying to read the tea leaves, and it has nothing to do with any of my family members, about what happens with Gabe Kapler and the Phillies. On the line with us right now from the Inquirer, please welcome in Scott Lauber. Scott, what's going on, sir? Good morning.
Hey, how are you?
Doing excellent. We appreciate you coming on with us. We're just left out to dry. Is there any chance? Like, let me try to fast forward to the end. In a scenario where Gabe Kapler is retained as the Phillies manager, is there any chance, because he's still under contract, did the Phillies just say nothing?
No, I don't think so.
Okay, good.
No, I like, you're saying, like, just sort of, like, pretend that nothing's going on.
Like, nobody's talking about this.
Yeah, and everyone just shows up in Clearwater on February 14th
exactly.
Or February 15th, and it's like nothing ever. No, I don't think so. Look, it would be first of all, they're going to make some news, I would imagine, between now and then with adding players. So they're going to have to answer for the manager at some point. But let's say they didn't. Let's say that, you know, the Phillies just disappeared for 3.5 months. It would be a tremendous break in protocol that they didn't address the end of their season. So, you know, typically what happens is the season ends and they have some media availability over there, and Matt Klentak and Andy McPhail talk about the end of the season and looking ahead to next year. And from what I understand, everything I've been told, that's still going to happen at some point. They're just waiting for John Middleton to decide yay or nay on Gabe Kapler, and then they can move forward. So it's all in John Middleton's hands right now. And what we're hearing is he's talked to a lot of people. He's doing his due diligence and then some on this one, and that includes talking to some players apparently about the manager and how they feel about that, and if they think a change is needed. And I don't think he's talking to 25 players, but he's talking to the ones on the team who are sort of considered leaders, and you can figure out who those are, and they're going to try to make a decision from there. I didn't think we'd be sitting here 9 days out from the end of the season still without an announcement from them. Nobody thought that, but here we are.
So, speaking with Scott Lauber from the Inquirer, the impression that is given, I guess, from the Eagle or from the Phillies clubhouse is basically that these players love Gabe Kapler. So, is that the case as you believe it, or do you think these players, some of them at least, would like to see a change?
Well, if they're telling John Middleton what they've told a lot of us at the end of the season, when I certainly asked my share of questions, and I know a lot of people did, about, you know, what do you think of the manager? There's some uncertainty here. And, you know, the line we got from most of them was, he's our manager. We like playing for him. I mean, Bryce Harper, on the last day of the season said, you know, 81 and 81 was not his fault, that there were other factors involved from injuries and other things. JT Realmuto spoke very highly of him. Now, say what you will about that. I mean, a lot of times when I ask players these questions or others ask and I'm there as well, you know, I sort of take it with a grain of salt, because I don't expect a guy, unless he really, really hates his coach or manager, to sort of rip the guy on his way out the door at the end of the season. You know, usually they're going to be politically correct about it, and they're going to say, you know, we enjoy playing for him, or, you know, they'll sort of finesse it in their own way. And if they're telling the owner the same thing they've told us, you know, I think he's getting a positive impression. Now, you gotta ask why that is. And, you know, Gabe Kapler, we all know, has his players back publicly, privately. He defends them at every turn. He doesn't have a ton of rules. He's not what I'd call a disciplinarian. He's very much what I'd call a player's manager. Players generally react positively to that. So now, if that's the answer you're getting, if you're John Middleton, you have to ask yourself, is that the kind of manager I want? Or do I want somebody to come in here and have a bunch of rules and impose a little bit more of their authority and maybe be a little bit more of a boss and figure out, have that. So, like, kind of like a Larry Boa type, let's say, as opposed to a Charlie Manuel type, you know. Teams, when things don't work out, typically go away from what they have and go the opposite route. So Middleton's weighing all of this stuff. Does he want this kind of manager? Does he want someone with a little bit more of a heavy hand?
All right, no, speaking with Scott Lauber from the Inquirer, so, but basically, if you think Middleton is hearing what you heard at the end of the season, Kapler would be back from the players?
I think so.
Yeah, okay.
But, you know, it's again, it's like you said, I mean, we're all sitting here kind of talking to people that we talk to, trying to read the tea leaves, and it's unless you're talking to John Middleton directly, it's difficult to know exactly what he wants,
right,
or exactly what he's looking for. You know, I wrote something a few weeks ago that a couple of things we know about John Middleton. Number one, he's super competitive. Number two, he's basically a Philadelphia sports fan. I mean, you see him at Eagles games in Jeffrey Lurie's box and on the field after Eagles game, playoff games and, you know, whatnot. And he happens to own the local baseball team in town, so he can affect change on one of the teams that he roots for. And he listens to fans a lot. He listens to public opinion a lot. So if he's listening to the radio stations, you know, he knows that Gabe Kapler's not the most popular guy in town. And I wrote, you know, that it's dangerous to make your decision about your manager based on what the public thinks. You've got to weigh a lot of factors. Well, I think it's just as dangerous to make your decision based on what the players think. You know, I think you have to sort of at some point, once you've collected all of these opinions, you got to go with your gut and you have to decide, is this the right guy for us going forward or not? And because we don't hear from John Middleton a whole lot, I don't know. I don't know exactly like what criteria he values in his manager at this point in time, you know, after two seasons of missing the playoffs under Gabe Kapler and eight seasons overall. I'm just not exactly sure what he's looking for.
What style manager do you think would work best for this organization?
That's a great question. I don't know. I don't think there's a one-size-fits-all thing. Like, different managers are going to reach different players in different ways, and players are going to respond to different things. It's one of the reasons why, like, when, you know, any number of those times this year where someone didn't hustle out of the box, you know, and everyone screamed for, oh, bench the guy or, you know, pull the guy out of the lineup. Well, I mean, I think that Gabe Kapler, for good or bad, for right or wrong, was trying to respond in a way that he thought would reach that particular player. And I think players are reached in different ways. So I don't know. Like I said, teams tend to go from one extreme to the other when the results on the field are not so great. I think there's probably a mix there. You know, I've covered teams under a lot of different managers. You know, Charlie Manuel is very much a player's manager, very much a guy who was in the player's corner. I think more managers are like that than not these days. I don't know that the disciplinarian approach really reaches a lot of today's players. I think there's got to be a balance, though. I think players have to know who's in charge. I think they have to know who the boss is. I think they have to know that if they don't do things the right way, there are going to be repercussions for that. But I think the manager also has to find a way to finesse that sometimes and you know, have the players know that he's got their back, he's on their side. So there's probably a mix. And I think managers learn as they go as well. And look, if you ask Matt Klentak to talk to you about Gabe Kapler, he'll talk to you all day about all the, the listening and learning and adjustments that he sees Kapler has made in the last 2 years that he thinks he'll continue to make. So that's his take on it. And he clearly thinks Kapler's the right guy going forward. So we'll see. I wonder, at 9 days after the end of the season, like, let's say this gets resolved today or tomorrow, 9 or 10 days after the end of the season, you know, is there a question about, you know, Gabe, you know, how much faith does the owner really have in Gabe Kapler if it took him 9 or 10 days to make a decision here? And so you have to ask yourself that as well. Like, how long is too long to drag this thing out?
Scott, we've talked a lot about how a manager is affecting his players or how they look at him. But I want to take it to a bigger area there. Jason Stark said that managers aren't the ones just making out the lineups anymore. A lot of stuff is coming from above. So if that's the case and Klentak and McPhail are still here, do they want to get a guy that they can still control? So, meaning a guy that they can talk about lineups with, that they can say, you should be playing this guy a little bit more, as opposed to a big name Joe Maddon, Joe Girardi, who probably wouldn't listen to that?
Very much so. I mean, look, that exists, that dynamic exists on a few levels. I mean, Matt Klentak hired Gabe Kapler. He's only going to get to hire a finite number of managers. So if Gabe Kapler gets fired, Klentak will hire the next guy, and that's probably the last guy he gets to hire. He picked Gabe Kapler. That was his choice. I think it's safe to say if they're making another choice now on a manager, that it's going to be a little bit more of a collaborative. Maybe John Middleton's a little bit more involved in this decision if he decides to fire Gabe Kapler. I don't know that the general manager necessarily is going to have as much control over the next manager. He certainly won't if it's a guy like Buck Showalter or a guy like Joe Girardi.
Right.
Those guys are big names. Those guys are going to be making big money. Those guys are going to probably, you know, have a little bit more say with the owner than the general manager will. There's a lot to this dynamic, and that's one of the reasons I think why Klentak is as vocal as he is about wanting to keep Gabe Kapler, both publicly and I'm sure behind the scenes, because he wants his guy. And they are very much in lockstep philosophically about how they view the game, Kapler and Klentak. And, you know, Kapler is the guy who's making out the lineup every night, but, you know, I'm sure that there's input from above as well. Klentak, I'm sure, is rallying for his guy right now for a number of reasons, least of which is he doesn't know how many more guys he's going to get to hire after this. So he's tethering himself to this manager for better or worse. And if it works out that Kapler is back, you know, I think that they're ultimately going to be a team. And when one of them goes, they're both going to go.
Scott, last thing for you, and real quick because I'm up against it. But when it comes to when this could happen, when do you actually see a decision being made, an announcement made?
Last week. I mean, honestly, like I said, there's due diligence,
right.
There's being methodical, and then there's just being indecisive. So, you know, I don't know how many people Middleton has left to talk to. Can't imagine it's that many. I mean, he spent the whole week, last week of the season, on the road with the team. So he's talked to a lot of people by now. I would imagine today, tomorrow, I can't envision this getting to the end of the week without a resolution.
Scott Lauber from the Philadelphia Inquirer. We appreciate you coming on with us, man. Thanks, Scott.
Sure, guys. Anytime.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.